ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, entitled The Appearance of Shukadeva Goswami, Text 16. Punascha Bhuyat Bhagavati Anante Rati prasangas charat chathat ashrayeshu Mahatsuyam yam upayami sristim Maitri astu sarvatra namadivejbhya Punascha bhuyat bhagavat chante Rati prasangas chatarashrayeshu Mahatsuyam yam upayami sristam Maitrastu sarvatra namo divejbhya Unascha bhuyad bhagavat anante Rati prasangas chatarashrayeshu Mahatsuyam yam upayami sristim Maitrastu sarvatra namo divejbhya Maitrastu sarvatra namo dvijevya Unascha bhuyad bhagavat anante Rati prasangas charata Mahatsuyam yam upayami sristim Maitrastu sarvatra namo dvijevya Unascha bhuyad bhagavat anante Rati prasangas chatatasya sheshu Punaha, again, cha, and, bhuyat, let it be, bhagavati, unto Lord Sri Krishna, anante, who has unlimited potency, rati, attracting, prasangaha, association, cha also tat his ashtayeshu with those who are his devotees mahatsu within the material creation yam yam wherever upayami I may take Srishtim, my birth, Maitri, friendly relation, Astu, let it be, Sarvatra, everywhere, Namaha, my obeisances, Dvijebhya, unto the Brahmanas. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Again, offering obeisances unto all you brahmanas, I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with His devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. Purport. That a devotee of the Lord is the only perfect living being is explained herein by Maharaj Parikshit. A devotee of the Lord is no one's enemy, although there may be enemies of a devotee. A devotee of the Lord does not like to associate with non-devotees, although he has no enmity with them. He desires association with the devotees of the Lord. This is perfectly natural because birds of the same feather mix together. And the most important function of a devotee is to have complete attachment for Lord Sri Krishna, the Father of all living beings. As a good son of the Father behaves in a friendly way with all his other brothers, so also the devotee of the Lord, being a good son of the Supreme Father, Lord Krishna, sees all other living beings in relation with the Supreme Father. He tries to bring back the upstart sons of the Father to a saner stage and to get them to accept the Supreme Fatherhood of God. Maharaj Parikshit was certainly going back to Godhead, but even if he were not to go back, he prayed for a pattern of life which is the most perfect way in the material world. A pure devotee does not desire the company of a personality as great as Brahma, but he prefers the association of a petty living being, provided he is a devotee of the Lord. Om Akyanta Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raganathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagina Lalita Shri Vishakambitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dino Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So beg for the blessings of the assembled devotees, that we can say something for the pleasure of Shri Radhe Shyam. May the devotees be benefited and may our words be aligned with Guru Parampara. Hare Krishna. So again, this is Canto 1, Chapter 19, which is entitled The Appearance of Shukadeva Goswami, Text 16. Again, offering obeisances unto all you brahmanas, I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. So, this chapter begins by Parikshit repenting of his act against the brahmana Shamika Muni. And he was thinking that this brahmana was faultless and I acted wrongly by placing a snake over his shoulders. So I desire now that that reaction immediately comes to me. Whatever the reaction, let it come. And this way it will cleanse the fault from my heart. This is how Parikshit was thinking at the beginning of this chapter. Repenting, repenting. The word for repentance in Sanskrit is anutapa. Anu means following, and tapa means burning. So the idea is that it's the burning that follows a misdeed that you perform. There's some burning in the heart after you make some mistake. And that burning in the heart should turn into a prayer to the Lord. And then what's the power of that? If you actually make some mistake and you experience the burning in the heart and it turns into a prayer, Prabhupada mentions in that purport about repentance, he says, sincere repentance by Krishna's grace burns away sins accidentally committed. So we're probably wondering, what is an accidentally committed sin? You know, if repentance, sincere repentance can burn it away, nothing else needs to be done if it's accidentally committed. So accidentally committed sin means when we're overpowered by certain habits and tendencies that we have from our conditioning. It should be expected. Not just this life, but so many lives we come with these certain tendencies, inclinations, habits. We're made of habits. We're made of so many habits. And a habit means your intelligence shuts down and you just automatically have a tendency, right? People have bad habits, but if obviously you wouldn't want bad habits, your intelligence says this doesn't make any sense, I want to give this up, but yet again and again it may come. So notice here what Parikshit does. He doesn't fight with this mistake that he made by putting the snake. You can say it was anger, right? Some anger was there. He was the king, he was thirsty, and he saw this rishi who was in meditation, and he wasn't sure if he was actually in meditation, in trance, or he was just pretending to be. So Parikshit became a little upset, and he took a snake and put it around his shoulders. We know this is all the plan of the Lord, but still we can look at these things because they're relevant for us when anger comes up and we have some reaction, some mistake. So what does Parikshit do? He doesn't just fight with the anger or fight with the fault within himself. So long we're in material consciousness, we can't overcome things like anger and envy by our own efforts. We can only suppress it. You notice that? may have some anger, may make some mistake, I shouldn't do that, I'll never do that again. And then it comes again, because with our own resources, with our own mind, you cannot overcome something like material anger, envy. You just have to suppress it. Desires come up, strong desires. You can only suppress it on the in material consciousness. And that's also necessary. Sometimes we do that. Otherwise we'll create so many problems in our life. But the real way of overcoming, the real solution, how do you overcome material anger and not just suppress it or distract? You know, we distract ourselves with other things. I'm feeling this way right now, let me go distract myself with something else. Sometimes that's another bad habit. And we're very entangled. We're helpless in this material world with all of these faults. We can't overcome them by our own efforts. We do what we can. But if you really look closely, it's all forms of suppression and distraction. So Parikshit, with this little fault that he observed within himself, and he was repenting for it. First thing is, he just repented. I made this mistake. And then he accepted whatever the consequences were going to be. Okay, and whatever's going to come, let the reaction come, I accept it fully. And then he took a deeper shelter of the Supreme Lord. This is how we can deal with all of our faults. Okay, it's there, we recognize it, we see it, we try our best to overcome it, but we should know we can't overcome it by that, by our minds, by our efforts. But yet, there it is, I see it, there's a burning in the heart. Turn that burning in the heart into a prayer to the Lord. Accept whatever comes because of the mistake. Accept the consequences, whatever they may be. Maybe something's coming in the future, I'll accept it. It should come to me. This is just the state I'm in. And take deeper shelter of the Lord. Go to the Lord for that. By the grace, when the energy of the Lord enters into us, that is what can wash away some of these tendencies, remove them from the heart. It's when Krishna is pleased. So that surrender, the deeper surrender, keep returning to that. And eventually all these faults, which are very just, they're very superficial. They're just on the surface of our, it's like we have a pure soul and then we have these other subtle bodies that surround it. And they're very superficial. It's just like smoke, you know, a puff of smoke in the air, gone. Life changes and those faults change. They switch around. Now I have some new faults. These old ones are gone. They're temporary. But we're identified with them. And that's the real issue, the identification. So when we experience Krishna, truly experience, surrender to Krishna and experience His grace, then we start to identify with our soul. And the soul doesn't have those faults. We start to realize that. But identified with the mind, with all of these faults, and we're struggling with them, that self-struggle can never overcome them. So the solution always is, okay, a repentance, an acceptance of whatever's coming, and a taking a deeper shelter of the Supreme Lord. That's the process every time. So Parikshit, when he's considering all this, he's repenting in this way, and he says, whatever the consequences, let it come now, so I can be cleansed. And he takes deep shelter of the Lord. And then some news comes to him. This news was sent by the Brahmana, Shamika Muni. He sends news that I regret to tell you this, but my son, Sringi, has cursed you, and you will die in 7 days. Prabhupada says that a curse was discharged by this immature boy, Brahmana, Sringi, discharged. I thought that was an interesting word because it's like a weapon. There's a way that words can be loaded with shakti, you know, just like you may load a weapon and discharge it, and it can hit someone. Right? In the same way, there's a way in which words, there's a power. When a power accumulates from austerity, brahmanas used to have these powers, they could accumulate a certain shakti and load it into their words. And when they spoke those words, it was just like shooting a weapon. It will have an impact. It will have an effect, and you can target it at anyone you want. So that power used to be there. You know, this is some of these things are mentioned in the Atharva Veda. The Atharva Veda, when you, it's not considered the high in the highest regard, that particular Veda, because there are different procedures for spells and curses and things like that are contained in that book. So when a Brahmana would master the Vedas, he's sometimes referred to as Trivedi. He's mastered three of the Vedas. So the Atharva Veda was disregarded because of this information is there about cursing and different, you know, spells and so forth. So if you master the Veda, it means you've mastered the Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, and they left Atharva Veda out. But anyway, Parikshit could have resisted that curse. He also was powerful. He could have avoided that curse. But somehow, he saw that no, this is necessary. There's an opportunity here. This is the inconceivable plan of the Lord. I accept it. I accept it. He could see that. He could see that he could have counteracted the curse. But he saw something deeper taking place. He shifted his consciousness and saw a little deeper what was happening. And so when this news came to him that he would die in 7 days, sasadu mene, he said, good news, sadhu, that is good. I will accept it graciously. So that shift, this is how we should see when things are happening in life, when things are happening to us. We can see the surface of what's happening and react, you know, or we can try to see a little deeper, maybe contained in this thing happening to me, in a very, on the deepest level, maybe there's Krishna giving me some opportunity. Let me look at it from that way. Let me open myself up to that possibility. I was with one man a few weeks ago in Gainesville. I work as a hospice chaplain. So this man was passing away. And when I first met him, he told me, I asked him what was most important to him at this time, knowing that he had maybe a few months to live. And he said, I need to get right with God. But he kind of just moved on and brushed that aside, but it came out of his mouth and I noticed it. You know, I just took note that, okay. And then he talked about so many other things. You know, he's got to find his cousin, he's got to get this money from this person, he's got to figure out something with insurance, he's got to sell this truck that he has, and all, you know, that's mainly where his mind was. But I just noticed that when I asked him what was most important, he said, I have to get right with God. So I saw him a few days later, and he was declining. His health was much worse. Now he was bedbound. And I went to see him, and he said, you know, he was just so anxious about so many things. As soon as I walked in, he said, you have to help me out. I have to get this. My cousin owes me money. It's very important that I get it. Can you help me find his number? And he was just very anxious. And he went from one thing to the next. And I just listened to him for a while. And at some point, I kind of stopped him. And I said, I just want to remind you that when I saw you a little while back, you told me the most important thing is that you need to get right with God. I said, why don't you just let all this stuff go? What does it matter if you get this money? You know, you may just be here a short time, could be a few more days. Look where your mind is, you know, the insurance and the money and getting this back. And he's like, you don't understand, it's the principle. You know, my brother did this to me and now he owes me this money. And cousin, I think he said. And I said, it doesn't, you know, whether you get it, what are you going to do with that money? You're going to put it in your pocket and you have this money, you still have just a few days maybe left to live. And then he got really quiet. And I spoke a little bit more in this way. I felt confident to speak to him in this way because the first day I met him, he said, what's most important to him is that he gets right with God. That's what gave me a little confidence that I could go there with him. So he became very quiet and he was just listening. And then he took some very deep breaths. And he wasn't saying anything. And I said, okay, I'm going to leave for now. I'll come back again in a couple of days to see you. And as I was walking out of the room, he said, thank you. He said, I love you, man. I love you. And, you know, he somehow went a little deeper. He was absorbed in so many anxieties. And he just got quiet. And it's like he just shifted his attention to something more meaningful and essential. And it calmed him down. I saw him 2 days later. And I went into the room and he was very calm and he said, I'm working on letting it all go. I said, how's that going? He said, yeah, I'm trying to let it go. I said, let it go and also turn to the Lord. He'll give you the strength to be able to do it. And he just nodded yes and again thanked me. And then I learned that night he had passed away. So, but I bring that up because, you know, Parikshit gets this news. He's going to die. And there's so many things, so many worries that may come to the surface. So many things. We're so habituated to be anxious and for our minds to be restless. And so many fears and concerns. But he was able immediately to shift into a deeper place and see that, no, okay, 7 days, I'm going to let it all go. I'm going to go to the bank of the river, take shelter of the brahmanas there. He's speaking to the brahmanas in this verse. And I'm going to perfect my life before I pass. And he was able to let everything go and focus his mind. So, in this way, we can transform what looks like maya. I found a nice quote from Prabhupada I wanted to read from a purport that's coming up later. I thought it was very interesting, but he says, sometimes Mahamaya and Yogamaya are operating simultaneously in the same event. So something happens, some illness comes to you. It may just seem like a karmic reaction. But it may also be, it's in that sense, maya. We're absorbed in maya and we're absorbed in karmic reactions are taking place and it just seems like the material energy. But simultaneously, in the same event, yoga maya is behind it. And so Prabhupada says, the energy of the Lord transforms from maha maya to yoga maya and appears to pure devotees in her real original feature. So that means even though we're in this world and we're entangled in karmic reactions and maya is covering and acting in different ways, but the original feature of maya is yoga maya. And that means the energy that helps to unite us to the Lord. Maya separates you from the Lord. And yoga maya unites you to the Lord. And in everything happening, we can transform, Prabhupada says, by the vision of a pure devotee, they transform Mahamaya to Yogamaya. They see it in that way. They see Krishna behind everything. It's like Maya is this outer shell. It's the outer surface of things. But deep in the core is the mercy of Krishna. In the same event, in the same thing taking place, it can be seen in two ways. And therefore, when we're purified, we'll always see Krishna's loving hand behind everything coming to us. So Parikshit, with this news, how is it possible? You get news, you'll die in 7 days. And he was in his youth. He was the king. He was so powerful. He was so loved. And he had the power to counteract this curse, but he saw, no, this is Krishna. I accept it. And so he goes to the banks of the river and he vows to fast until death. And all the sages and brahmanas come from all over. And he's deeply humbled by that because he's a king. So generally, sages don't associate with kings. King, you know, king means mode of passion, ambitious, desires, controlling, power. So rishis and brahmanas and sages don't associate with a king. So he felt deeply humbled that even though he's a king, so many people have come to encourage me. He was so grateful. And he addresses them in three verses. And today's verse is the last of those three verses. This is him addressing with gratitude in his heart, speaking to the brahmanas that are there. I want to read the last verse and today's verse together so that we can get we can see the full expression of his realization and his words. And the last verse is so great also. So put them together and we can hear what he's saying. So this is text 15 and 16 combined, just for the sake of completeness, hearing what he says. O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created, bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. And then today's verse. Again, offering obeisances unto all you Brahmanas, I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. So, I wanted to also look at just one line that struck me in the purport to the last verse. Prabhupada says, as soon as one is given up completely unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he is not at all afraid of death. The atmosphere created by the presence of great devotees of the Lord on the bank of the Ganges and Maharaj Parikshit's complete acceptance of the Lord's lotus feet were sufficient guarantee to the king for going back to Godhead. He thus became absolutely free from all fear of death. So as soon as one is given up completely unto the lotus feet of the Lord, as soon as that takes place truly from the heart, then one has overcome death. One has no fear of death. So that is our prayer, our desire, our meditation again and again. Surrendering to the Lord. To surrender to the Lord is not a rule that we should follow. It's not a rule to be followed. We have to, you know, rules, there a rule is given, do this, do that, and then we try and do it. That's good, but it's not enough. This surrender to the Lord, we have to start to have a realization of the spirit of surrender. for ourselves and then want it and long for it, and in different ways in our life begin that process. It's not that, you know, rules are kind of, you know, do this, do that, okay, I'll do it, I'm obedient. That has its place, of course. There are so many rules we're trying to follow. But really, we want to understand for ourselves the spirit. Why is that rule there? Why is this important? We start to realize the value of it. We start to long for it. And then we enter the spirit of surrender. The spirit of truly surrendering. It says, Prabhupada says, as soon as one is given up completely unto the lotus feet of the Lord. To give up completely and just surrender to the Lord, trusting in Him. An example is given that there's a fisherman, and he wants to catch some fish. So first thing the fisherman does is he throws bait out into the water, and that attracts many fish. Many fish come, because now there's some food. And then on his line he puts a hook, and he puts bait on the hook, and he throws that one out there into the water. So now all the fish are already there. The fisherman is Krishna in this example. And we are the fish swimming in the ocean of material existence. So he puts a hook and he throws it out. And some of the fish, they see the hook but they avoid it. They leave. They just got their bait and they're gone. But one fish bites onto that bait and gets caught in the hook. That's the devotee compared to the devotee, because the devotee wants Krishna sending something out, and the devotee says yes to it. The devotee wants it. Yes, I'll take it. Just like we're all here, right? So we took it. We took the bait. And now, when for a fisherman, then he doesn't start reeling in immediately the fish, but he actually gives it more room. The wheel, that reel, he actually gives more of the line so that the fish can run around everywhere. It goes left, it goes right, it goes around, it's getting very tired. And when it gets very, very tired, then he can very easily reel the fish in. So we've taken the bait, we're trying to become Krishna consciousness, we're trying to surrender, and then we also, because we're restless, we're running here, we're running there, I'm going to serve Krishna that this way, I'm going to serve Krishna that way, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to do more. And finally, we get very exhausted from all that. And then we start to understand what surrender really means. We get exhausted, right? Queen Kunti says, when those who are materially exhausted, they can call out to the Lord with sincere feeling. And after all that movement and all that running around, then we can hear this idea of surrender starts to mean something. We understand what it really means. As Prabhupada says here, giving up completely unto the lotus feet of the Lord. So Krishna, so that fisherman, when he all that activity, see, if it's very active, the fish is very active, it's harder to reel in. But once you let it wear itself out, the fisherman feels, oh, now it's totally no movement. Now it's very easy to draw the fish in. So Krishna's waiting for us also to become exhausted by trying in our own way, our own efforts, running everywhere, doing everything. And then a kind of surrender takes place. And then at that state of exhaustion, then we're automatically drawn in by the Lord. We just now have to surrender, completely give myself up to the Lord. And then we start getting pulled in to the Lord. So, surrender, the topic of surrender is unlimited for us to reflect on and to desire and to pray for. Let me see Parikshit here. I'll stop in just a moment. I just wanted to read one last thing. Today's verse. Parikshit said that he's already surrendered completely to the lotus feet of the Lord. This is what he's saying already to the Brahmanas, even before hearing from Shukadev Goswami. Let the snake bird come and bite me now. And you all just go on chanting the glories of the Lord. As long as that is happening, everything is auspicious. And that way, because the Lord is pleased. And so I'm satisfied with that. So in today's verse, Mahatsu. Mahatsu means within this material creation. This is a prayer that comes out of a person who is fully surrendered. These beautiful words. Mahatsu. Within this material creation. Yam yam upayami sistam. Wherever I take birth in this material creation. Wherever I may take birth, he has three desires. The first and most important of all, Prabhupada explains, Bhagavati Anantayati. Wherever I take birth in this creation, attachment. Let me be completely attached to Lord Krishna. That's his first desire. And that's the most important one, because everything flows from that. Everything else falls into place. When we have attachment and love for God, everything else will fall into place naturally. So his second desire becomes natural when you have attachment to the Lord. What's the second desire? Prasangascha tat ashrayeshu. Let me have intimate association with your devotees. If we love the Lord and attach to the Lord, we want to be around his devotees. That's a symptom, a natural symptom. And then his third desire, Maitri Sarvatra. Let me be friendly to all living beings. Friendly relations with all living beings. Astu. Astu means, let it be so. Actually, this is what, you know, a lot of Christians say, Amen. Amen. Amen means, let it be so. You know, so that's why it's always concluded with Amen. You know, you make a prayer and let it be so. Let your will be supreme, let it be so. So Prabhupada concludes this purport in this verse by saying, this is a pattern of life which is the most perfect way in the material world. These three things that he's praying for. This is a pattern of life that is the best possible in this material world. Of course, we want to go back home, back to Godhead. But a pure devotee has this state of consciousness as well, wherever I go. Attachment to you, association with your devotees, and friendship, love for all living beings. This is Parikshit's beautiful prayer here, speaking to the Brahmanas, and soon, in the midst of this atmosphere, the Brahmanas supporting him offering these prayers, then Shukadeva Goswami is going to arrive very soon and begin speaking after Parikshit asks a couple questions. So I'll stop here. Thank you so much. Does anyone have any comments, questions? Yes, Madhav. Okay. I guess you don't need it then.
First of all, I want to thank you so much for your very thoughtful class. Mm-hmm. One point that I want to appreciate you mentioned about accidental, what that means, is at least in my head, I had a different understanding of accidental, but you mentioned that about as
Sure. So Madhumati Mataji was mentioning that she's appreciating the point of what accidental sin means. Accidental, Prabhupada explains in a couple places, also in the Gita. It means a habitual tendency that we have. You're not going out deciding, I'm going to go sin today. But you have a habitual tendency, and it may come up and even surprise you. And then, you know, so this is a kind of accidental mistake or sin that's committed. And this purport says also that it can be burned away by repentance, by sincere repentance.
Thank you. some disease or whatever, once you try to save their lives.
Yes.
Yeah, so you were mentioning that how he, Prabhupada mentions, used the word discharge, the curse that was discharged. Sometimes a discharge may come as a news of a disease, a fatal disease. And in our community, we have seen both kind of things. We had Shamali, when she heard the news about her cancer, she didn't try to fight it. She accepted, like Maharaj Pratchik, she accepted it and led her last days in her life preparing to leave her body as a devotee would. And then we have other examples where a devotee hears something like that and then tries to fight it. My question is to you is that we are meant to save our lives as much as possible, and yet we have example to accept it.
Yeah.
Do you have some comment on that?
You know, it's a great question. And it's actually happening all day to us, right? Should I do this or should I not do this? Should I work harder or should I withdraw? You know, it's a constant issue in our lives. And from how I see it, both are fine if we're taking shelter of the Lord. You know, there is a purport in Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says, it is our duty to try to fight for our life in the sense of some illness comes. You know, you do what you can. You know, consult people who know. Consult devotees. Also consult maybe experts in the material world about something to find out what this illness, you know, a doctor or so forth. So do what you can. But with the realization that, well, I'm going to make this effort, but I'm going to completely depend on the Lord as well and take shelter of the Lord. Someone else may get some insight from Super Soul to just let it go from the beginning. You know, that's Super Soul. You know, that's like, it requires a real connection to what is Krishna, somehow like Parikshit here, he could have counteracted, right? But he saw something. No, this is an opportunity here. He knew, he was convinced that it was the right thing to do. Some, we're not convinced, so what we do is try different things, always depending on the Lord, and then it'll be revealed eventually. You know, like, it'll be revealed eventually, but we have to try this or that. Maybe try withdrawing, see what happens. Oh no, this is not good. Okay, now I'm gonna make an effort. Let me see how that goes. But always, either way, it doesn't really matter. If we're taking nice shelter of the Lord, His devotees, if we're examining our motives, the consciousness protects us. So it's over and over again in this world, we always have to, you know, try or not try. Maybe this will work, I'm going to make an effort, let's see what happens. And let's see if Krishna wants it to happen. But I'm only going to know if I try. Let me withdraw from this, let me see if that's the right thing. Maybe it's revealed that, yeah, that was good. Actually, I'm glad I didn't get involved in this. But we're only going to know for sure when we make a little effort, and then, but all through that, if we're just staying nicely centered, that Krishna is the supreme sanctioner of everything. Let's see what His will is. Let's see what His will is in this circumstance. I'm going to learn by making some efforts and depending on the Lord. And then things gradually always become revealed. So in the beginning, we want the revelation very quick. What should I do here? But Krishna needs us to first show a little something, and then when the time is right, then it becomes crystal clear. This is the thing to do. Super Soul eventually reveals. I just thought, Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, I was thinking about what you said right in the beginning of your class about how if someone commits a sin, makes an offense, then they feel badly about it, repenting and purifying, get rid of that feeling. But then I thought that those kinds of people are diminishing, you know, more and more. It's like they commit terrible acts, and there isn't any feeling.
Yeah.
Like even I grew up Catholic, so it's like you commit a venial sin or a mortal sin, and you know, you learn that it actually does a stain on your soul, and you, you perform penance in order to purify that. But because religion is so much disappearing, it's frightening that the feeling that you're mentioning is also disappearing. To
yeah, it's a good point. It's a dangerous place when we don't even feel shame for some sinful act, or we don't feel any regret. We just go on with our lives, right? But, you know, yeah, that's a level of being further and further entrapped by Maya when you don't feel it. If you feel it a little bit, it shows there's a conscience. And conscience, what is conscience? It's God within the heart, too. You know, it's like this feeling that this shouldn't have been done. I could have handled this in a better way. That's also super soul. The presence of God in the heart. We almost know we should be living with truth and purity and love. There's an indication within us. When we're so entangled that that's covered over, we can do anything and everything and feel fine. But actually the karmic results of that is much worse. Even though you seem like you're fine and everything, life is smooth, I'm not going to let it bother me. But internally, very deep in your psyche, you know, because of the actions that are so much out of harmony with love and truth, we're setting ourselves up for another situation, another birth, where actually it's even worse, where there's going to be, eventually it's going to surface, the frustration, the fear, the depression, it will all surface in another situation, because life is not being dealt with properly, and that's how the laws of nature work. They're trying to set us right. But if we close our ears and eyes to all of these things, it may look like we're getting by okay, and you know, life is fine for people, even they can commit crimes and things and just not care. But everything's being registered very deeply, and it will come and surface, and you're worse off. So better we feel the little burning, like I was saying, anuttapa, means like a little burning in the heart for some mistake. Feel it, turn it into a prayer, and then move on with your life too. Don't stay there forever. Keep taking shelter of the Lord. You know. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, in your first answer, you said that when one commits a mistake or the simple activities, it's something habitual. You describe it like that. So, in a case of Maharaj Parikshit, do you have any recollection or know of any part of his life that he had any of these habits to do such a thing?
Yeah, you know, with Maharaj Parikshit, obviously, it's a very unique situation because it's pointed out by the Acharyas that these things are not really in the heart of Parikshit, but the Srimad Bhagavatam is the result of all of this, right? So there's a way in which this is the plan of the Lord, and Parikshit is tuning in, understanding that this is the plan of the Lord. So even though he felt the regret, it was like his humility. Suddenly he became a little angry in a situation. It's out of character for Parikshit. But he still owned it, which is amazing, right? In one sense, it wasn't part of his habit, it wasn't part of his nature, but it happened in his life, and he thought, oh, I'm so sinful. Please, Krishna, bring the reaction to me now for this mistake. He owned it as a mistake, as a kind of mistake. But, you know, it's hard. We speak this way for us because we know our situation and we have these habits. But when we look at the pure devotees and their interaction with the Lord, we always have to just remember that in the background of all of this is the divine will of the Lord. He has a plan, and he's using devotees like Parikshit. You know, Arjuna also, right, in the Bhagavad Gita, he's suddenly bewildered and struggling. That was also out of character for him. But Krishna will use his devotees to communicate things to all living beings through them. So I'm not aware of Parikshit, any other occurrences, and, you know, he's from birth, right? This is a person who saw Krishna in the womb and live purely and perfectly throughout his life. But this came up. by the inconceivable will of the Lord, and he also owned it as his own, even though it may not have been. So that's my understanding of that. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all so much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada.